So I've been talking with Diana Lee a little bit, and Diana is part of an HR department wherever she works in Sydney. And so I was asking her some questions. I said, so tell me some questions I should be asking, because many of you know we're in the interview process for a new CE director here at the church. And she came up with a few statements. She goes, I want one that really gets into who they are. She goes, well, I have a few questions that I've seen men cry on during the interview. And I said, oh, I got to know what that is. Got to know what that is. And she didn't have one specifically, but she was saying stuff like, well, something that changed your life or something that brings up the emotion in somebody. So I was kind of thinking about that a little bit. And I thought this. I said, name a time in your life that was a pivotal point in your life where your life changed. And I don't want when I became a Christian. Okay, we're just assuming you're a Christian. So name a time in your life when it's a defining moment in your life, when things really shaped you into who you are today. And I was thinking about that in relation to myself and some of the things that have happened in my life that make me who I am. Who I am today. Now, for those of you who were on our Wednesday night Bible study in the book of Romans, we're actually on Romans chapter 13. And that is a scripture passage that actually changed my life. Romans chapter 13 is a big, long story. I'll share it with you someday, but not today. But that's one of those. And I was thinking about that in relation to me, why I'm a pastor and not a farmer. And I know one of the reasons why I'm not a farmer is because, as many of you know, we had a barn fire that destroyed our hog operation, where we had the largest barbecue in Allen County, Indiana history, where we had 300 hogs that in a farrowing operation that were barbecued one night. And that, to me, was a very pivotal moment. Now, have any of you ever experienced something like that, a fire, or you've had a fire, anybody else, a fire, or something that has really challenged you? What you find out happens is your senses become very heightened to that particular issue because of the trauma. And so I found that with myself, we started smelling smoke in the area. And you would smell smoke, and you start looking around. Where's the fire? Where's the fire? And you wouldn't see any fire. And then you look down the road a quarter mile, a half mile down the road, and you see a burn barrel that has a little bit of smoke that's actually coming out of it. Now, I grew up on Leesburg Road outside of Fort Wayne, Indiana, and which is real close to US 30. And another thing that I noticed is that I was starting to, my ears also became heightened at that point, and I would start hearing things. And after the fire, and we would hear things from down the road, and one was, help me, help me, help me. And you go, what in the world? And you're looking, you're expecting to hear gunfire or something like that. And all I kept hearing is, help me. And you drove up and down the road. Okay, who needs help? All we hear is, help me, help me. Found out that a half mile down the road from us, anybody hear anything called peacocks? And how peacocks make noises? What does this sound like? Help me. Help me. So we're going all the way up and down the road. Now, a friend of mine that I grew up in high school with, named Patsy O'Connell. I saw her at my dad's funeral, and she told me she now lives on Leesburg Road. And I said, well, where do you live on Leesburg Road? At the Peacock Farm. And so you knew exactly what it was, you know. And it's interesting, animals are, of course, God's creature, but God can use animals as well. Remember the tornadoes that we had? I remember the November tornado that we had, and the birds. I remember listening to birds, and they were squawking. Man, they were loud in Salina. They were loud. And then all of a sudden, they got really quiet, and I looked out in my backyard and I could see that black cloud that was over the Walmart area. And I go, this isn't good. And then you started hearing the other animals called fire trucks going up and down for the next half hour. Animals. Diana shared with me her cat. What does your cat say?
Hello.
Hello. She taught the cat to say hello. And the cat's on the other side of the door. You see a little paws on the door going, hello, hello. And Diana's going, hello. And do you do that all night with her?
No, I have not.
Calm her down, man. And so... So you know, we can train animals to make sounds that sound like words to be said, but you know they don't communicate like we do. I mean, human beings are the most complex in communication that's actually out there. We communicate with music, we communicate with words, we communicate with body language, we communicate with written word, we communicate with you name it. We communicate in many different ways. With that in mind, I want to go to Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22. And I want to look at one of the strangest stories that's found in Scripture. It's the story of a donkey that actually talked to his master. And it's strange because here you have a donkey that's talking, but there's more to it than that. And we're going to be looking at that today. So, in Numbers chapter 22, the Israelites were traveling over, they were wandering in the towards the promised land. They had gone to the east side of the Jordan River, not the west side where Israel's at today, but the east side where the Syria and Jordan are actually at. And it says in Numbers chapter 22, it says, and the Israelites traveled to the Jordan Valley in Moab, and they camped near the Jordan River across from Jericho. Balak, the son of Zophar, saw everything that the Israelites had done to the Amorites. The king of Moab was very frightened of these Israelites because they were so afraid of them, and he was very afraid. Now, why was he afraid? You got a million people that are on the other side of the river. And the river is probably about the size of Beaver Creek, so it's really not that wide. And you got a million people that are there, and you know all they have to do is come on the other side, and we're in trouble. And so when you're in trouble or you're grasping at straws, you're going to do everything you can to stop them. So one way that they tried to stop them was to bring a prophet named Balaam and to hire him to produce a curse upon them, and maybe the gods or the spirit realm can go against these Israelites. So the king of Moab was very frightened, and he sent for some men to a man named Balaam, son of Beor. We don't know much about him. We know that he was a prophet, but that's all we know. We don't know what he prophesied. We don't know what religion he was part of. We know that he was was he Jewish or not? We know that he followed the one God, but that's basically all that we know about him. And he wanted to hire him to produce a curse upon them so that the Israelites would not be successful. Now, when you're in desperate times, you're going to do desperate things. And I remember in World War II, in the Battle of Bulge, Patton decided that he was desperate because they could not relieve Bastogne because the weather was so bad. So what did Patton do? He made his chaplains write a prayer. And they wrote a prayer. And the chaplains, the next day, the weather cleared. Do you know in Korea they did the same thing with the coronavirus? The chaplains in the Daegu area were to write a prayer. And I should have downloaded it when I had it in front of me. I'll be honest with you, I prayed that prayer too. And I'm going to tell you, I felt a power. There was a power in that prayer. But it has since been taken down. So let's bring Balaam in, and maybe he can curse the people, and maybe they can defeat them, and we force them to leave my country because there are so many of them. So the leaders of Moab and Midian left, verse 7, and they talked to Balaam, and they carried with them money to pay him for his services. Money. all I got to do is write this curse and I get all this money. And Balaam said to them, stay right here. I will talk to the Lord God and tell you what the answer he gives me is. Okay, so he was to, they were going to give him money, but he did the right thing. He went to God first and said, can I curse them? Would it be okay? And the next morning, and God said, do not go with them. You must not curse those people, for they are my people. The next morning, verse 13, Balaam got up and said to the leaders from Balak, go back to your own country. The Lord will not let me go with you. So the leaders of Moab went back to Balak and told him this. They said, Balaam refused to come with us. So Balak sent other leaders to Balaam. This time he sent many more than the first time. And these leaders were much more important than the first ones he sent. So first he sent the privates, now he sent the colonels. So these are important people who are coming. And these leaders were more important than the first. And they went to Balaam and said, this is what Balak son of Zippor says to you. Please do not let anything stop you from coming. I will pay you even much more. So not only did you have the more important people, now there's more money coming in. Oh, God, this would be great, wouldn't it? You're supplying all of my needs, and you're giving me even more. Can you please change your mind so I can go curse these people so I can get all this money? Balaam gave Balak's officials this answer. He said, I must obey the Lord my God. I cannot do anything great or small against this command. So he was holding strong. He was doing the right thing. You cannot go against God. We cannot justify what you're doing for the sake of money. And so, I mean, how many times we know what our flesh wants us to do, and yet we know it's wrong, but we'll justify it, and then we pay the price later on. Even if Balak gives me his beautiful home filled with silver and gold, I will not do anything against the Lord's command. But you can stay there until tonight, like the other man did, and during the night I will learn what the Lord wants to tell me. Okay, verse 20. That night God came to Balaam and said, these men have come again to ask you to go with them. So you can go with them. But notice what he says. But do only what I tell you to do. Now, if you go to the next verse, it's kind of confusing a little bit. It says, the next morning, Balaam got up and saddled his donkey and went with the Moabite leaders. But it says God became very angry with him in verse 22. Wait a minute. Balaam did what he was supposed to do. He went with the people. And yet God became angry. Makes no sense. Well, this is where you have to go to other Bible verses that explain this. So in Jude chapter 1, well, there's only one chapter in Jude. Jude verse 11 says this. It will be bad for them, and they will be followed the way of Cain when? To make money, they have given themselves to following the wrong way that Balaam went. Hear that? To make money. So it's showing the heart of Balaam. In 2 Peter chapter 2, it says in chapter 2, verse 15, it talks about Balaam who loved the wages of wickedness. Notice it says the wages of wickedness. So Balaam was all excited. I can go now. I need to get there now because I got a big paycheck that's coming. It's payday time. But then, verse 22, says, God became angry, so the Lord's angel stood in the road in front of Balaam to stop him. Then Balaam's donkey saw the Lord's angel standing in the road with a sword in his hands, and the donkey turned from the road and went to the field. So, boom, off went the donkey. I always imagine that, this little donkey, into the field, and Balaam, stop, and just goes, I've ridden a horse once, maybe twice in my life. I've ridden pigs. Have you hopped on a sow or a boar? And one thing I found out about them is they're not going to go the way you want. Verse Verse 23, then Balaam's donkey saw the Lord's angel standing in the road with a sword in his hand and went to the field. Balaam could not see the angel, so he became very angry at the donkey, hit the donkey, and forced it back onto the road. Later, the Lord's angel stood in the place where the road became narrow, and this was between two vineyards, and there were walls on both sides. And again, the donkey saw the Lord's angel, so the donkey walked so close to one wall that it crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So Balaam hit his donkey again. Later, the Lord's angel stood in another place where the road became narrow, and there was no place where the donkey could go around him. It could not turn to the left or the right, and the donkey saw the Lord's angel, so the donkey laid down with Balaam sitting on it. So down goes the donkey. Notice what Balaam did. Balaam was very angry at the donkey, so he hit it with his walking stick. All right. This leads us to the first lesson that we learned. The first lesson we learned today is there is an unseen world, and sometimes adverse things happen in the unseen world for our own protection. You hear the 911 stories of 9/11, of these people who by chance didn't go into the World Trade Center. You hear stories of people who don't make the flight and the flight crashes. And sometimes it's God that's actually protecting us. God has a purpose for that person, and God's actually protecting that person. We need to understand that there is an unseen world around us filled with angels and demonic forces. Because Ephesians chapter 6 says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Oh, if God could open up our eyes and we were to see the spiritual realm right now, we might see angels all around this sanctuary and all around this building that are protecting us at this time. Wouldn't that be cool to see? But I think if we did see them, we would do what the Bible says many times people do when they see the spiritual realm. We would realize how unholy we are, and we'd fall flat on our faces. We need to remember, church, that there is a spiritual realm out there, and that there are angels all around us, and many times they are protecting us. Because they are doing the works of God. And imagine if that donkey said, well, my master, it's on my back, is more important than you, angel, and he keeps going forward. And remember that angel had a sword. And the purpose of a sword is not for decoration. There are many times that things happen to us in this life and we don't realize it, but it's actually the angelic world that's involved, that's protecting us or guiding us. There were two ladies in downtown Fort Wayne one time, and one of them went to the Union Chapel Church on Coldwater Road, and she was talking about how she was talking to the driver of the car, and a car pulled out in front of them, and they knew that they were going to hit, and they all braced for the impact, and they closed their eyes because they knew that they were going to hit, and they didn't hit. And they opened their eyes, and they looked back, and they saw the car going down back onto the road. And the one lady looked at the other lady and said, did you see what I just saw? The other lady said, yeah, but I can't explain it. Days and weeks before the massive fire that destroyed our business at our houses, there was a lot of spiritual activity that was happening in our house that we didn't realize until afterwards that it was God that was actually preparing us. Understand that there's a spiritual realm out there, but also understand in the spiritual realm is we got a lot more on our side than on their side. We've got a lot more on our side, and by the way, on my side's going to win. So should I be afraid of demons and demonic forces? I don't believe we should be afraid of them. I think we should respect them and not play around with them. But I do believe that there are angels that are working on God's behalf, bringing us messages or whatnot. Understand that there's a spiritual realm that is out there. Now let's go 2 Kings chapter 6, if you write those in your notes, is the story of Elisha and how he was being protected from the king that was against him. And they opened up his eyes and there were chariots of fire surrounding the mountain protecting him. Go to verse 20, or chapter 22, verse 28 of Numbers. Then the Lord caused the donkey to speak. The donkey said to Balaam, "Why are you angry with me? What have I done to you that you've hit me these three times?" Balaam answered the donkey, "You have made me look foolish, and if I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now." But the donkey said to Balaam, "Look, I am your donkey. You have ridden me so many years, and you know that I have never done this before." Well, that is true. Okay, what's wrong with this passage? Come on, what's wrong with the people? What? You're talking to a donkey. And what's even stranger yet? Balaam's talking back. I'm sorry, but if a donkey's talking to me, I'm going to go, "What?" But he's talking back like there's nothing. Which brings me to the second point. Rage. Come on, second point. Rage can very easily cloud rational thinking. To the life, I don't understand this. This donkey's going, "Well, if I could kill you right now, I would." Don't you think his mind would open up and say, there's something strange happening here? But rage can cloud rational thinking. So many times people's lives are destroyed by rage. Proverbs 14:17 says, "A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions are hated." Proverbs 14:29, "If you stay calm, you are wise, but if you have a hot temper, you'll only show how stupid you are." This is Proverbs. This past year, we've seen a lot of athletes that have lost their positions or whatever else has happened to them as a result of their anger and rage. How many remember the Steelers versus Packers game? You don't remember it? Yeah, I need some sound back here. You see that? Boom! So you see what happened there? That man was suspended for the rest of the year. And he's allowed to come back next year, but he's suspended now. Because of his anger and rage. Here's another one. See if we get sound on this one.
Not sure if it's the proper time to pull in a headbutt, but I can tell you it's definitely not during extra.
Boom!
However, since you
don't know, that was during the World Cup.
Sent off halfway through extra time. Italy went on to win on penalties, and Zidane went on to...
Guess what? They lost the World Cup. Because of his anger. Here comes another one. This one was against the own team. This is hockey now. Right?
And with all kinds of pressure.
I'll tell you what to watch.
Rebound, answer above.
Watch for a white jersey.
And now they do push it ahead.
Going towards the goal.
Ilya Kovalchuk on Goku.
See what just happened? His anger and rage was so intense that he took a stick and he hit the goal. And what did he hit? The goalie. That man had 30 stitches. Now this was a high school one. How many remember Dayton Dunbar? It's kind of hard to see. But look for that tall guy. You see how he's arguing right now? Okay. Now we're not done. Keep watching him. He's got a little bit of white down here. Watch his arms. He's arguing with his own players. Now the referee now realizes he's out of control. So what's the referee says? Go to the sign line for a game. Just get away. What does he do? Boom. Now watch him. He's going after another ref. As a result of that, they forfeited the game. The game was over at that point. Now I show you these things because it's amazing to see how rage can cloud someone's thinking and rationality is not there anymore. Right? And how many times do we make decisions based upon our rage and our anger? And we make irrational decisions. Go down, drive up I-75 and start a road rage incident. I think the one I remember the most, because the fire department I was on was, we did I-75 south of Findlay. We got to the, I got to the scene first because I went direct, and the car is on its top. And I'm, well, this is weird. What's the car doing on its top? And there's a whole bunch of cars on the other side. It was a road rage incident where the guy behind him was mad because he wasn't going fast enough. So he decided to do a NASCAR maneuver. And he hit the bumper, causing the car to spin, and goes on its top. Because when I and then I turn around, I noticed that they were doing blood work on the second car, or on the first, well, the second car, because they wanted to find out if he was drunk or not. And it was all because of anger and rage. I've been every once in a while I get online trying to figure out whatever happened to that person, but we called the helicopter in, we had to cut the guy out of the car, all because of anger and rage. And so anger and rage, anger can be good, but rage comes to the point where it clouds our thinking. And the psalmist says, calm down, calm down. Third lesson is, always do what the Lord states. Always do, don't rationalize it, always do what the Lord states. So Balak heard that Balaam was coming, so Balak went out to meet him at the Moabite town near the Arun River, verse 36. And it was the north border of the country. When Balak saw Balaam, he said to him, I asked you to come, and I told you it was very important. Why didn't you come to me? Why do you think I'm not going to, well, you think I'm not going to be able to pay you? He's still on this. But Balaam said, well, I am here now. I came, but I'm not able to do what you ask. I can only say the words that the Lord tells me. Always do what the Lord states. Don't justify it or anything like that. Always do what the Lord states. Irregardless of what your flesh tells you, always do what the Lord states. Then what did he do? So now, Balaam you know what? That's not in my notes here. Admit when you are wrong. Balaam admitted it. He says, I have sinned against God, and he repented that time. Okay? And that's very important. It comes the point we have to admit we're wrong. We don't like to admit that. In any relationship, we don't like to. How many remember Fonzie? You younger people, the program's called Happy Days. There's a guy on there named Fonzie. Goes, hey, you know, black leather jacket and everything else. Listen, Dave, remember when he was trying to apologize? He goes, I'm just couldn't say, I'm sorry. Just admit you're wrong. I'm sorry, it's my fault. What can I do to make it right? Okay, now the last one is this. Praise is more powerful than a curse. Praise is more powerful than a curse. It's easier to curse. It's always easier to find out what's going wrong. It's easier to find out the faults than it is what the person is doing right. It's easier to find the cracks in the wall than it is that the wall's painted. And so, what does Balaam do? He starts praising God. And the three times that he stands before and he sees Israel, he praises Israel. Talks about what God has done, how God delivered them, and also talks about their future and how valuable they will be. Parents, hear me on this one. Okay? Hear me on this one. Praise your kids. Now, I'm not talking about putting them above God or anything like that. But praise them when they do something right. Praise them for their history. Praise them and give them a bright future ahead of them. Tell them what they're going to do right. Tell them how valuable they are. Yes, there are times you have to say, you're wrong. You're not going to act this way. I remember when my son went to Finley High School, I looked at him the first day. I said, you're a Dunton. We have a good name in this school, and you will continue to have a good name in this school. And there were times that I had to correct him and chastise him, but I also know the value of putting your arm around him and saying, listen, you're going to be a Dunton, and you're going to have so much value to this society, and you're going to have a beautiful wife. Give them that hope. And that's what Balaam did to the Israelites, is he proclaimed God's truthfulness about who they were and also proclaimed the future of their nation. Okay. A statement I read, and this is in closing. Three times he beat the donkey. And it says, when God opens our eyes and we see how far off course we have gotten, we're faced with a crucial decision. Turn back to God or defy him and go further down the road of destruction. The challenge today is always to turn back to God. Always. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the story of Balaam. And we thank you for the ability to turn back. And Lord, we pray for everyone here that might be making decisions if they're going to follow you or not. And I pray that they will always put you first. And when you put those roadblocks in our way, may we remember that many times it comes from you for our benefit. May your blessing be upon us the rest of this day and the week to come. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we have our final song, let's just show some appreciation to three individuals who decided to risk today and to give of their talents to lead us in worship. So thank you very much.
Forever I
Father, I just pray your blessing upon these individuals, and may we keep you first in our lives. And when we have a choice to make, let us always follow you. May your blessing be upon these individuals. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said,
amen.
God bless you.